Well, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Psalm 23, a well-known passage of Scripture for many of us. A while back, I was reading through the Psalms and doing a little bit of study there, and just happened to watch one evening on the RTE television station one of these reality TVs, you know, where they kind of like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Except this was done in my home village of Tamarfeckan on Greenon, about celebrities seeking to be farmers, you know. And it was horrible. That's about the only way you can put it, you know. The things that are done in the name of charity, and on one particular occasion, a number of celebrities trying to herd sheep. And I realized the poor sheep, and it struck me that I was thankful that some of these individuals were not my shepherd, rather that God was my shepherd, because they had little or no concern. And in that in mind, I returned to Psalm 23, and I was thinking about some of the sections there. I haven't grown up on the farm myself, and I knew some of the places where this TV show had been filmed, and it struck me, yes, what does it mean that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want? Written by David, certainly, but we are unsure when it was written. But let me read the passage for us first, and then we'll come back and talk through some of the details of it. David writes these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for these words of confidence and encouragement, words that challenge us to dwell with you and to engage with you in all aspects of our lives. I pray, Father, this evening you will be generous to us. For every one of us, we are needy people. We need you to speak to us by your Spirit and through your Word. And I ask, Father, that you create in us this evening more of the image of your Son, Jesus, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The question of when David wrote these words is an interesting one. It strikes me that they could have been written in three different situations in David's life. One, when he was king, relaxing in the palace, when all was well. Perhaps then it would have been easy enough for him to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Perhaps they were written when he was a young boy. He had meditated upon them, he had them upon his mind as he tended sheep in the hills of Judea. Perhaps they were written by David when he was on the run from Saul, hidden in the back of some dark and damp cave. In that context, was David able to write these words, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Without question, the language is influenced by the early life of David as a shepherd, and to some extent, I believe, as a refugee, someone who needs a shepherd to look after him now. Someone who without that care is like a sheep lost in the wilderness. It is without doubt a prayer of confidence, a prayer of encouragement to us, or a psalm of encouragement to us. If you have your Bibles, would you flip back with me? I just want to read the opening lines of a number of psalms before this to maybe help us appreciate how different Psalm 23 is. Go back to Psalm 6. David writes these words, "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath." Psalm 10, opening line, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Psalm 12, "Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men." Psalm 13, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Flipping over a few more to Psalm 21, 22, one we know probably fairly well in terms of Jesus' comments. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. And then David writes these words in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. The Psalms I love because they never seek to deny the reality of the lives in which we live in. The psalmists always seem to address their own emotions, their feelings, their anguish about situations. There are moments when you hear the psalmist saying, asking God to, in a sense, judge those who are clamoring down upon their necks. And you think there's moments I would like to be able to pray it out myself. You know, are there other moments the psalmist, as we see here, is in despair? How long, O God, will you hide your face from me? And we understand that the psalmists, all of the different ones who write, are never afraid to address the issue that there is struggle and strife in the world in which we live. And they don't shy away from that. But in doing so, they never compromise their faith. That same psalmist that wrote some of the earlier ones, David, is able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He's able to address the reality that he has this confidence in God. And I want you to pause for a moment and try to think about where you're at the moment. Are you, in a sense, like David, who is doing well? He's in the palace and all is fine. There doesn't seem to be any major worries in the world. If you're there, life is good. Are you able to say, the Lord is my shepherd? And to articulate that well in the midst of the blessing that God has brought upon your life. Perhaps you're similar to David in the wilderness, looking after the sheep, a shepherd boy. Perhaps not too many cares in the world. Life is okay. Sense that you're never going to be rich and famous. But nonetheless, you have this confidence of your relationship with God in the midst of a menial life of being a shepherd boy in the valleys of Israel. Are you able to say, the Lord is my shepherd? Or do you fight against that and you want more and you expect that your God should perhaps give you more? Maybe for some of you. Right now you feel like you're in the caves of Israel, hiding from the onslaught of the pressure upon your life. You feel a little bit like you're being hunted, as David was with Saul, hiding in dark and damp caves, trying to escape. Knowing that God had plans for your life, and yet, right now, it doesn't look so good. It seems to have all gone in the wrong direction. Because that was David. He was anointed already as king. He'd been told that he would be king, and yet now he's running for his life. Maybe you've been there before, and maybe you'll be there in the future. In those moments of time, again, what does it mean for you to articulate, like the psalmist here, that the Lord is my shepherd? We all have pressures in life, perhaps bills we can't pay, waiting for university positions, wondering about parents or children or whatever the case may be and their well-being. You know, if you anything like down south, we watch the news every day and we see situations and decisions being made by the EU or the IMF or somebody else, and you see decisions being made that affect your life and you feel you have no control over them. I was wondering in that context, can I say with David, the Lord is my shepherd? The image of shepherd is an important one to Israel. There's no question about that. It is a significant one. It's there again and again in the life of Israel. It's probably similar to that of the vine, the two major images of God working with his people. And I think the comments that are made here are very significant because the word Lord is the personal name of God, Yahweh. And for David to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, is close to scandalous. We don't pick it up quite as easy here. When Jesus says the same words, he says, when you pray, pray Abba Father. And there's this tremendous sense of the personal relationship we have with our God through Christ. David expressed the same here. See, it was one thing for the Old Testament to make the comment that says, God is our shepherd. He is the shepherd of Israel. That's one thing. But for an individual to say, God is my shepherd, was quite spectacular in the Old Testament context. And for David to echo these words, to see that here was one, a shepherd, who would look after him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I always wonder as I read that particular line, is that a statement of past experience? David in the palace and all has been well? Or is it a statement of, in a sense, almost a present declaration or a declaration of intent? He wants to believe and be clear that God is his shepherd, even as he hides in the cave. In either case, I believe that whether it is the cave or whether it is the palace or whether it is the valley where he is minding sheep, David would say the same thing. It makes probably no difference to him what his circumstances, what affects the reality is, the reality that God is his shepherd impacts his circumstances rather than his circumstances impacting whether God is his shepherd or not. And that is a major statement that we must think about. Does the circumstances in which we find ourselves change how we feel about God? Or do we re-examine the circumstances to consider in the light of the fact that God is the one who cares for us, that he is Father? See, Job had to do the same thing. Isaiah was probably faced to do exactly the same issue as well. See, there comes a moment in the life of all believers, probably many moments, but I think an important one comes when we ask and answer the question, is God enough? If all else were to go, as Job had to face, is God enough? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's simply another way of saying the Lord is my shepherd. And that's a kind of a sobering discussion to have with yourself and perhaps with some of your close friends. If all else was to go, your wealth, your possessions, your family, your health, is God enough? Do we determine and interact with our circumstances because we know the Lord is our shepherd? Or does our circumstances determine whether at this moment in time I believe God is my shepherd or not? I recognize our circumstances have impact upon us. If I'm honest, it's much easier for me to stand here today and say the Lord is my shepherd in context of IBI than it was 5 months ago when there was no money in the bank. But we did struggle back then to say God is our shepherd. If he wants this, then he will work it out. And if he doesn't supply the means by which we raise the funds and everything disappears in some way or other, well, we will be okay because God is our shepherd. And in the midst of all this journey, he is shaping us and changing us. I appreciate that those are heavy thoughts, but ones we almost pause at times in our lives to examine, to answer the question, I believe David answers it here, is God enough? Verse 2 says, He makes me lie down in green pastures and He leads me beside quiet waters. It strikes me, as someone who grew up in Ireland, I don't get that. Because pretty near everywhere you look, there's green pastures and quiet waters. A couple of years ago, I was in Israel, and it was in the midst of a significant drought. And there was nothing green about the place. And there was no water anywhere except, you know, again, I think everyone's surprised that they go to Israel and the Jordan isn't quite as broad and as wide as the song says that it is, you know. And it's, in a sense, a stream of muddy water in places, and all just on the sides of it, a few yards either side, there is greenery because the water is feeding it. But everywhere else is brown and barren. You know, I think for sheep, when they think of sheep heaven, they think of somewhere like Ireland where everything is green and quiet waters everywhere, you know. But David understood that part of his job as a shepherd was to bring his sheep to a place where they would be well fed, where they would thrive, as it were, where they would eat well and drink well and could be safe and secure. You know, in a sense, you know, if I was to ask you the question, you know, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would that be? You know? Well, for a sheep, it would be here among these quiet waters and green pastures. This is idyllic for them. And God is saying that His shepherd, David is saying that His shepherd meets our needs. But it's more than that. It's more than just the physical needs of food and water. He, in verse 3, restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There's a shift here, a shift that talks about not just sheep anymore, but us as human beings. God guides us, He directs us, and for His name's sake, we carry His name if we call ourselves Christian. And the fact that He guides us through paths of righteousness reflects upon who He is and His own character, the type of God that He is. And when we make choices to go in other paths, we distract from His name. We belittle His name. You know, as believers, we are often referred to as sheep. But truth be told, sheep sometimes follow better. You know, they head in the right directions perhaps easier than we as people do. It's possible the fact that we are called sheep, sheep could take offense. You know, in terms of the way at times we make choices. And we know God wants us to go this way and we choose a different direction. We know God wants us to respond in love and we respond in grudgery. We know God wants us to speak to an individual, but we're too concerned about our own, you know, what people might think of us or how the person might respond, so we hold back. But God, as a shepherd, leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And for God, it is important, not just for His holy name, but also for the fact that He loves us greatly and He wants the very best for us. One of the things that I know from growing up on a farm is that the flock or the herd always reflects on the farmer. If they don't look too good, people assume the farmer isn't so hot at his job. Or if they're doing well, then that the farmer is a good farmer. I'm a visitor here, so I can ask this question. I don't want any answers, but you need to think about it as individuals. And that is, when people look at you here in Bangor, how does it reflect upon God? He loves you deeply. He wants the very best for you. There is no question in my mind about that. And yet, how does it reflect upon Him? Do we follow Him well in the way in which we walk? Verse 4. The psalmist now speaks of the dangers of life and understanding that they will become upon us. There will be dark places for us to walk through, and yet God is there with us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The place of the shadows of death, dark places that I must pass through, places of danger, places of heartache and turmoil at times. But as I move through here, the psalmist argues that he will fear no evil. I was typing this into my computer and Microsoft Word didn't like the sentence, "I will fear no evil." It wanted to change it to, "I will hear no evil." And I thought, you know, that probably makes perfect sense. Because often in the world in which we live, it's a world of kind of escapism. We pretend everything is fine. And the truth be told, you and I would be foolish not to fear evil, unless it was the case that you are with me and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Otherwise, we would be fools not to fear evil. But the psalm is a psalm of confidence, not complacency. It's a psalm of peace in the midst of struggle, not one of escapism. It doesn't try to hide the fact that there will be dark valleys. But it does assure us that we need fear no evil because God Himself is with us. His rod and His staff. His rod will fight off danger. His staff will guide His sheep. And if God bears His arm in good Old Testament imagery on our behalf, and if He seeks to guide us in paths of righteousness, and we follow well, then what do we have to fear in the midst of that? After all, isn't God enough as our shepherd? They comfort us. They're used by the shepherd to protect his sheep and for the well-being of the sheep. And that's what God wants. He wants our well-being. He wants us to do well spiritually. He wants us to grow, to thrive. Verse 5, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." Wonderful imagery here. That imagery that David understands very, very clearly. Images that even in the presence of his enemies, God is there. He has himself more than likely stood guard, watching over his sheep in the presence of enemies of wolves and lions, bears in the past. He has more than likely stayed awake at night watching over his men as a sentry, wondering if some of those who were coming of Saul's men were seeking to find them. He understood very clearly that God does not always remove us from the shadow of death and from the dark places and from the hard places of life. But he never abandons us there. He is with us. He walks with us. Even in the presence of my enemies, he prepares a table where I will be safe and secure and well looked after. He has anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. David understands these things. He's been there, done that. He has been anointed as king in Samuel 16, chosen by God himself. Like Paul, he knows what it is to live in hard places and hard times, and yet he knows that his God is greater than them all. And unfortunately, there's no guarantee that tomorrow it will be okay. It may be next week or next month or next year or beyond. I don't know. But I do know with David that God does not abandon us in those moments. And he shapes us. He creates in us the image of his Son again and again. My experience in watching others is that we never know it in the moment. It's only when we look back we see it, what God has done. It's at times most difficult for us as human beings. And I find that interesting, considering we are often so wrapped up in the now. It is very difficult for us to see and envision what God is doing in us now. It's only in looking back that we see what He has done in us and the creation of Christ He has made in us over that period of time. Other people sometimes see it better, and that's why it's always good to have people around us. But David is clear that our cup overflows. We have more than enough. The sense of well-being, the sense of safety, the sense of shalom, knowing that we are accepted and chosen by the loving God of the universe, is an amazing thing. And we should dwell on that. The sense that when we realize that the Spirit of the living God chooses to dwell in us. When you get up tomorrow morning, some of you will probably get up late tomorrow morning, right? You have a bank holiday up here. But when you get up tomorrow morning and you look in the mirror, and that may not be a pretty sight, I accept that, after a good night's sleep. But when you do, remember this. God chooses to dwell in you, in the image that is in the mirror. He chooses to dwell there. Isn't that an amazing thing? The reality of Christ dwelling in us. And he finishes off with these words. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of God forever. Because God is my shepherd. Goodness and loving kindness, that sense of the reality that God is the one who made covenant commitments to us. Hesed love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell there forever. In the Old Testament, there is a sense that you can run to the place of God, to the temple, to the tabernacle, a place so you could find sanctuary. And I appreciate that at times in all of our lives, we need simply a place of refuge. We don't need much else. We just need a place, in a sense, to be in the presence of God and to hold on for dear life. But I would say this to you. God wants more for you than just that. If that's what you need right now, that's okay. But He wants more than that. He wants you to dwell in His presence, to enjoy that, to live there and to live there well. It's different than simply, in a sense, renting a place, you know what I mean? And say, we'll be here for a little while and we move on. You know, when you've been away for a long time and you get home and it's good to be home, do you feel that when you move into His presence? I encourage you to meditate on the fact that He is your shepherd and He's out for your well-being and He takes care of you every step of the way and He wants you to dwell in His presence and to enjoy that. And in those moments, become more like His Son, Jesus. And in doing so, make a difference in the world that we live. If we are confident that He is our shepherd, then we can make a huge difference in the lives of those around us.